What's the hardest thing to give others in relationships that's often our greatest need?
Forgiveness. And that's what we're talking about today on Real Family Talk. How and why to forgive and where to start. Join us right now. One of the hardest parts of relationships is how to respond when someone in your life hurts you. Yet the Bible tells us to forgive those who sin against us over and over.
Luke 17:3-5 says, "Take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day and 7 times in a day returns to you saying, 'I repent,' you shall forgive him."
Pastor Mike Spiegel is here. He's senior pastor of the New Hope Seventh-day Adventist Church in Maryland in the United States. Mike, 7 times a day?
That's what Jesus said, Willie. And I think it's really one of our challenges when we think about the Bible, and especially Jesus' commands about forgiveness. C.S. Lewis has this great line. He says, "Forgiveness, everybody thinks forgiveness is this great idea until they have to forgive."
Yes.
And that's really this idea of 7 times. I mean, yes. Can you imagine when your kids were small? 7 times in the same day, your son came to you and said, "I was running the house and I broke mom's favorite vase." He said, "Don't do it again." And about the third or fourth time, you would not be getting to the 7th time, right?
Yeah. Right.
And it's this whole idea of forgiveness and our struggle with that and
our
own personal struggle with the idea of personal forgiveness, but more importantly, how we give it to others and what that means when we get forgiveness.
What I find that it's a lot easier to think about how someone should forgive you, but it's not so easy thinking about how you should forgive someone else. We tend to give ourselves a buy, but we think that the person who keeps doing the same thing over and over again must be ridiculous or something. Well, what's up with you? You know what I mean? And we find it difficult to do.
And I think it's because we all have a story.
Yeah.
And we all want to tell our story, right? I would forgive, but you need to know my story. If I could tell you my story, then you would understand why I could never forgive this person.
Yeah, like you feel justified, right, in not forgiving. And isn't it somewhat countercultural as well that, well, once bitten, twice shy, you know, or that saying, "Fool me once, what is it?
Shame on me.
Fool me twice.
Shame on you.
Yeah, whatever. But so how does that impact this whole notion of not forgiving?
Well, I think it goes to the very core of this idea of forgiveness and what forgiveness really is. One of our challenges, I think, is that we believe that forgiveness is a lot of things that isn't. Even being around a church, if you've been around a church most of your life, you've heard someplace that forgiveness means forgiving. And so, but they aren't the same thing. Or when I forgive somebody, that means it makes everything right. Everything's perfect again. And sometimes in relationships we have this.
Yes.
You know, a husband will tell a wife, "I asked for you to forgive me. I said, I'm sorry. What more do I have to do? Everything ought to be fine now," when it isn't fine. And we've misinterpreted what forgiveness really is.
It's not that simple, isn't it?
It's not that simple.
Yeah. In fact, what we've learned is that the deeper the wound, the longer the healing process. So it's not so simple. Now, you recently did a sermon series on forgiveness, and you came up with 4 points. Can we talk about those?
Sure.
Okay. Point number one, identify who you're angry with.
Which I think is the easiest for most of us.
Yes.
As soon as you say those words, Willie, somebody hearing that, the picture comes up in our mind. We know exactly who we struggle with, right?
Yes.
It's clear for us. Yeah. So that's not the hard part. The hard part is point number two.
Determine what they owe you.
And this is the part we tend to skip over real quickly. Yeah. Because we just feel this anger, this pain. I don't want to forgive them. They've hurt me and they've done something. But to stop and take some time to really think, what do they owe me? You know, it could be their childhood. Could be your innocence. It could be your relationship. It could be your money. There's a lot of things that people take from us. And to be specific about what they really owe you
Like what? Give us a for instance when you say owe me, because people might not fully understand what that means.
Well, what my interpretation, my understanding of forgiveness is this idea that it's giving to somebody, it's canceling the debt that somebody owes.
Yes, canceling
right.
the debt.
It's kind of saying, you no longer owe me for this, because yes. when somebody hurts us, they owe us for something. If somebody goes and says something bad behind your back, they've hurt your reputation. So they owe you to restore that. But the reality is, that's hard to get that restored.
Yeah.
Unless you let it go.
Unless you let it go. And I think that's the difference. And forgiveness, we need to talk about that. But letting go is not always the same as forgiveness.
Forgetting.
Right.
Or forgiveness. Yes. Because you may let it go. Yeah. But it's
but
in the back of your
forgiven.
Mind someplace.
Right.
Yes.
Which is point number three. And that's deciding to cancel the debt. And it's making that decision that says, you know what? They do owe me something. But the reality is, for your deepest hurts and pains, there isn't anything somebody could do to repay that debt. You know, if somebody's taking your innocence, there is no way you're getting that back. If somebody has ruined your life, your business reputation, it doesn't matter. There's no way to get some of those things back. And so it's not just to say, I'm going to excuse it, which is one of our temptations, or I'm going to overlook it. Forgiveness is really saying, no, this person has hurt me, and they've hurt me deeply. But I'm going to choose to forgive them that, not because they deserve it, but it's for my own sake, because I know if I hold it in, it's just hurting me. It's not doing anything to them.
And the truth of the matter is, we get forgiveness from Jesus Christ.
Right.
And he says that forgive 70 times 7. And basically what he was saying is, you got to let it go. And you got to let it go, but more than just letting it go, expunge it.
Right.
Expunge it like he does it for us. You know, how can we repay Jesus dying on the cross? We could not. We would have to die ourselves.
Right.
But he's died in our place so that we don't have to die. That's real forgiveness.
Right.
So I really believe that unless we have the connection with Jesus, that's going to be very difficult to do. You can't do it on your own.
Well, and the reality is we will never find the motivation to forgive somebody by focusing on the one who hurt us.
Yes.
We will only find forgiveness and the motivation to do it by focusing on the one who's forgiven us. And it's that kind of idea of saying, I really have to remind myself just how far God has gone in forgiving me, what it cost him and why he was willing to do that. And that ought to help me sort of put my mind in perspective. Not that it does away with the hurt or the pain, but it just reminds me again, I've done a lot of really bad stuff and I've done stuff that shouldn't have been forgiven. And yet I've had that blessing. And so what if, and this is one of the questions I asked during our series, what if they've been forgiven just like I've been forgiven? Because if they have, then I have to think about, why am I not extending that to them?
That's amazing. Point number four, leave it.
Which is tied into that.
Yes.
And it's leaving it in the sense of saying, it's done. I have canceled the debt. And if you've canceled the debt, then the debt's done.
Forget about it.
There is no way coming back and saying, oh, by the way, you still owe me, because you don't owe me. And our struggle is that we have a hard time of forgiveness because, A, sometimes we don't want to forgive the person.
Yes.
They've just hurt us too badly. Secondly, sometimes we're afraid they're going to get away with something, and we don't want them to get away with it. So if I forgive them, they're going to get away with it, and they shouldn't do that. And lastly, I come back to our story. We have a story to tell, and that story's become, for some of us, such an important part of our life that if I don't have that story to tell anymore about why I'm mad at that person, what they did to me,
yes.
what do I put in that place?
Indeed. Indeed. What do you do with that?
Right.
Yeah. So when it comes to forgiveness, what's our greatest need? We'll talk about that after a short break. Stay with us. We're talking about forgiveness with Pastor Mike Spiegel today. In your sermon series, you say that forgiveness is not acting like if it didn't happen or forgetting about it.
Right, and I think that's an important concept, Willie. We were talking about it just previously. We misunderstand what forgiveness really is, and sometimes we forget that forgiveness is filling that weight of that debt that we talked about. Mm-hmm. It's not sort of just excuse and saying, I'm not going to think about it. I'm just going to ignore it, and thus I've forgiven that person because I only think about it when I see them in the grocery store, and I don't want to talk to them, and I think maybe they didn't see me, and I could sneak away, and then they see me, and I go, oh, hey, how you doing? It's not that kind of covering. Forgiveness is more than just ignoring something or excusing something. It's not saying, oh, it's okay, Elaine. You didn't really mean to do that, I'm sure. It's the idea of, no, whether you meant to or not, this is what happened. And because of that, there's this debt now. But I am canceled. I'm not holding anything on my part towards you any longer.
Right. Yeah, and so the point is that the fact that you don't think about it or you forget it doesn't mean you've forgiven.
Right.
I hear that's what you're saying. What about, you started also saying something about the fact that we think that when we forgive, we're letting someone off the hook. And so how do you help people to understand that notion that forgiveness doesn't mean you're absolving the other person of their wrongdoing?
Yes. I think sometimes we think that forgiveness is that idea. We're letting them get away with something and thus it makes everything better and it restores everything. And sometimes people will think this as a forgiven person. You forgive me, thus everything's better, everything's fine, thus I'm not going to be accountable because I smashed your car. You're going to take care of it. And it doesn't change the consequences of it. I think it's one of the reasons that we have so many different stories in the Bible of real life events, because it reminds us again that consequences and forgiveness are not always the same thing, that forgiving somebody doesn't mean those are wiped out.
Correct.
There's a great line I used in one of my sermons that was from this lady named Ruthie Dina, author. And she says that forgiveness doesn't sort of absolve somebody's terrible behavior or doesn't change them from being a rotten person to a good person.
Correct.
It's owning what they are, but it's recognizing again that forgiveness is not for them. It's actually for yourself.
Okay. You also say that forgiveness allows us to see our own stuff.
Because, again, we have a story, and sometimes that story gets wound up in it, and sometimes we have been part of the reason that this whole thing started in the first place.
But wait a second. But his stuff is worse than my stuff.
And that's right. And it may very well be that his stuff is worse than your stuff. But oftentimes in the process of forgiveness, you have the chance then to be honest, that I'm now choosing to forgive him. Now I got to look at myself and my part of this, and what do I need to forgive myself, and maybe ask for them to forgive me, because oftentimes in our story, if you hadn't done this, I wouldn't have done that.
Correct.
Yes.
So, okay, you're right. I need to ask you forgiveness for that. And I'm also forgiving you for the response that you gave to me. So sometimes we need to look at ourselves. It is not always, we're not always the victim, even though we have great explanations of why we did what we did. It goes back to the idea of how much room we give other people and how much room we give ourselves. Again, we always have a story. We always have an explanation of why. I'm sure, Elaine, Willie does something or you do something and you say, well, there's a reason for it, right?
Yes, there is.
But when they've done it, how can you do that?
Right.
And you do that. But there's something else. You don't have to wait until they ask for you to forgive.
Right. And that's another piece that sometimes people struggle with because they think, well, I can't forgive them until they
ask for forgiveness.
Yes. The Bible says something about it. Or I can't forgive them until they know about it. And it gets us wrapped up again in this whole, it gets so entwined. And the reality is, sometimes the choice for forgiveness is more about what's going on in our own lives and what we need, as opposed to saying, no, this again has been a pain, this has been a hurt, and I'm choosing to cancel this. I'm releasing this person because, not because they deserve it, but because what it's doing to me, and I don't want this to stand between me and them or me and anybody.
Yeah, and the funny thing is that we want people to grovel. Don't
right.
you think? It's like you
like
if you've hurt me, I want you to pay.
Right. And we want them to pay in some way. Even if they can't restore the pay, at least they can pay some part towards it. And then I'll decide, did they really do enough to deserve me forgiving them?
So how do we get people to understand that person cannot restore us, cannot take away that pain, that forgiveness really is for me? It's for me to get rid of this this anxiety, poison. That I have inside that's really tearing me up.
And I think it goes back to those steps that Willie talked about before, that second one of actually writing down. I tell folks, you ought to sit down and write down exactly what they did to you so that you can see it. Because to know what they did to you then allows you to kind of wrestle with this is what they've done. And then ask yourself, is there any way they could restore it?
Yes.
Because the reality is the vast majority of those things outside of an object, a vase, a table, unless it's an heirloom from your family.
Yes.
You can't replace that, but you can replace the other things. But on so many levels, where we're typically hurt are things that somebody can't replace.
Correct. Now, another point you make is that forgiveness gives us the ability to have a relationship again with the individual.
Right. It gives us the ability to have
the
it. Doesn't
ability
mean
that we will.
It happens. Right.
It means
it opens up a pathway.
The pathway is there.
Yes.
And we can make that choice.
Yes. And reconciliation is a two-way street.
Yes.
And again, this is another area that sometimes we believe forgiveness means something that it doesn't.
Yes.
You know, again, I say, I'm sorry. That's supposed to make everything good. We're better now. And thus we have this great relationship again. Well, that's not, and I don't think that's what Jesus is talking about when he talks about
seven times in one day.
Forgive, yeah. Or even the idea of 490, you know, or infinite
seven.
Number. It's not the idea of somebody hurts me and everything's fine again. Somebody hurts, everything's fine again. It's no. There are some situations where that things aren't fine, and maybe you shouldn't have any kind of restoration.
Where it's not safe, like in situations where someone is being abused by their spouse or intimate partner or a child with a parent, that it may not be safe for them. But how do you explain the notion, that theological term of reconciliation? Because we've often said, you know, forgiveness does not necessarily mean that you're coming back together.
Right.
Because it may not be safe.
Because it may not be safe.
A child might be abused by someone, and that child might forgive the abuser, but you're not going to leave that, or you might forgive the abuser, whoever abused your child, but you're not going to leave your child with that person again.
Right. I think it's just a misunderstanding. Yeah. We read into it, and over time, in our sort of church culture, we have sold a certain idea, a concept of what forgiveness means. And I think it's been wrong. I think Jesus, I can't imagine Jesus, if my understanding of Jesus is true, him saying, hey, forgive your abuser and go back, you know, make everything good again because you're supposed to forgive. No, Jesus does too much stuff to protect those. He has too much of a heart towards those that are sort of on the edge of things that I can't imagine doing. So that tells me there's got to be another explanation. It's not this clean forgiveness.
So what's the greatest need we have when it comes to forgiveness? What's the greatest need?
I'm convinced that all of our greatest needs is our own forgiveness and our own understanding of what that forgiveness entails. One of the struggles we sometimes have with, it goes back to what Elaine said, you know, I might have done something, but what they did was worse than me. And it's so easy for us to get caught in that belief system that says what they did was worse than me. And I'm not really that bad. I have my story. I have my explanation. I can justify anything. I can explain anything. But the reality is we all need forgiveness, and it's a constant in our lives. We're never in a state of not needing forgiveness because, again, we are broken, fallen, messed up people. We may not be as messed up as somebody else, but that doesn't change the bottom line.
And I think that we should always remember that we've done it to Jesus. We've done it to God, and He continues to forgive us. Forgiveness isn't about doing something for others. It's about you. When we come back, we'll talk about where to start your journey to forgiveness. Stay with us.
Welcome back. Jesus tells us in Matthew 6, 12, 14, and 15, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses."
An author and speaker named Ruthie Dean says, "We're always called to forgive. But forgiveness should not be seen as a remedy to another's character, rather a soothing balm to protect our own hearts from bitterness." And C.S. Lewis says, "To be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. We're offered forgiveness on no other terms." So, forgiveness comes because it's a gift from God.
Right.
And it's a gift because He chose to give us that gift. If He didn't give us that gift, we would all be dead.
Well, and it's even more than a gift. It's actually an action that God wants us to experience for ourselves, to not only have received it, but to give it. I think that's why Jesus, in this passage, Sermon on the Mount, he gives them this model prayer that oftentimes in many churches people will say every week, you know, our Father in heaven, and we go on, "Forgive us our debts, and we forgive our debtors." And Jesus almost recognizes that at some point this could be sort of root for a lot of us. And so He stops at the very end of this section and comes back and says, "By the way, let me tell you, if you forgive others, God's going to forgive you," which is the good news for us, right?
Yes.
Okay, but He says, if you don't,
He won't.
He won't.
Yeah.
Which kind of raises the whole bar on that says, well, this forgiveness
serious
thing, and it's not about earning our forgiveness. It's about the idea of what takes place. It's the action. It's the expected response that God wants from us to when we fully, again, full the weight of what forgiveness means for us.
That's why I'm so confused, though, when I hear Christians say, "Oh, I'm just sorry. I cannot forgive that." Have you heard people say that?
I've heard
Christian people.
And here's the reality.
Well, so-called Christian people.
That prayer, "And forgive us our trespasses as we've been forgiven." What's going on?
Well, I think when somebody makes that statement, "I can never forgive somebody that, I can't forgive that," the reality is they can't.
Yes.
And they can't because they won't, but they won't because they can't. It's this kind of, it gets
a vicious cycle.
It's a cycle. And it's because of the pain they felt. And it's that fear of, what do I do if I let this pain go? And again, sometimes it requires some discussion and counseling to kind of work through the idea of owning that. And other times it's just the simple of, "Well, I would never," you know, sort of getting this is my standards and nobody can, you know, if you do that, you've broken my trust.
The line in the sand.
The line in the sand.
You've crossed it.
And again, it's forgetting that great C.S. Lewis statement, that there is no other basis that any of us can claim forgiveness. And so because that's the reality, obviously, as Jesus pointed out, that ought to be the reality for us as we go out. And that, again, doesn't excuse people. That Ruthie Dean quote doesn't, you know, change their character.
Yes.
This is not about what you do is changing them. It's about what you're doing for yourself.
Yes.
That as we let go of this stuff, it gives bitterness a chance to get out of our life, this sort of anger, this hate, this frustration, all the stuff that builds up, that simmers there. And much like a pot simmering on a stove, you know, at some point the water runs out and then you got big trouble because now
going to just blow. Explode. It's going to explode.
You know, what I feel is that this cycle that we're talking about, you know, you can't forgive because, well, you're angry or what have you, and you want to allow yourself to go there. Jesus is not in that cycle. And if Jesus is not in the cycle, it's not Christian.
Right. So, but I don't want to discount the reality for some folks of the struggle. I mean, there's some folks that, you know, they've set these levels up. But I think for the folks from abusive situations, folks who had their childhood, their innocence taken from them. I don't want to discount the pain that's real for that. So it isn't simply as, well, Jesus forgave you, so you have to forgive somebody else, because that's another
it's a process
cliche we kind of throw in there. And I think healing sometimes is a long process.
Yes, indeed.
And I think it leads us to this idea of feeling again and not to demand it from somebody. I think that's another mistake we sometimes do. We say, "You're a Christian, you have to forgive me because here's what Jesus said."
Well, no.
When in reality, we don't forgive because Jesus said we have to forgive. We don't forgive because we have to in order to get forgiveness. We forgive because we've come to recognize what not forgiving is impacting our relationship with our Father and
with
other people.
Others.
And not just the person we don't like. It, but with other people as well.
Right. I would like to add, though, that Lewis Smedes, who writes a lot about
forgiveness,
says that the sooner we push ourselves to forgive, the sooner the healing begins.
Yep.
And it's hard. It's hard because, you know, when we're counseling with people who have experienced hurt in their previous, in their earlier lives, they've been abused or whatever, it's hard to push yourself to forgive. But I love that he says that.
Yep.
Because rather than holding on to this, we make a decision. It's a cognitive decision that we say, I have chosen to forgive. Then the healing can begin. So it's kind of like
a cycle
that, yes, we have to heal a little bit, but then we push ourselves to say, okay, I make a decision. I'm going to forgive this because it's going to break down that barrier between God and between me and this person, and it's going to expunge this bitterness and this pain
yes.
that I'm feeling.
Well, yeah. and I think the first step on any kind of thing, the first step is always the hardest. You know, you see somebody across the room that you're attracted to as a single person, you know, that first, getting up enough courage to make that first step, you know, or, you know, to the chance to go to a new position, new career, new spot in another city. You know, that first step,
it's
always the hardest.
It's
and I think
scary.
Especially in forgiveness,
yeah.
the idea of making that first step, especially of dealing because of the pain and all the stuff that comes
up. And that's been our safety. It's been our protection. It's been our security. So, yes, we definitely understand that.
So what does forgiveness look like in healthy relationships?
Well, that's a big question, Willie. From my perspective, what forgiveness looks like is that it has to become a regular sort of experience, because part of the cycle,
yeah.
that any relationship has an element of forgiveness that's sort of built in that has to take place. And the thing that always sort of intrigues me is that how oftentimes in married couples, there'll be something that will happen and, you know, I'm not forgiving. But how quick we tend to forgive our best friends.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, because we say, oh, well, she's always, that's just how she is.
Yeah.
You know, we sort of excuse behavior that we wouldn't put up with in our spouse with somebody else. But for this person we're supposed to be most connected with,
yes.
most intimate with, most loving towards,
yeah.
something happens. And it just tells us again about how we are really messed up, you know, this whole relationship thing and how challenging it is.
The closer we are,
The more contempt.
Yes, no, not only that. The deeper the wound feels.
Yeah.
You know, because people who hurt you the most are the people who are closest to you. If someone is not that close and they do something to you, you can dismiss it. But when the person is that close, it's almost like you're shocked. You know, if all people...
They ought to know better.
I wouldn't expect you to hurt me.
They ought to know better.
Yes. So that's what makes it so difficult.
Yeah, but I think, you know, the reality is for couples to recognize that every relationship is built on forgiveness.
Yes.
You go back to your friendships. You go back to your relationship with your parents. If you have kids with them. Forgiveness is always a part there. And so I think it has to become where we're much more intentional, ready to take that first step, initiate, be part of that whole process.
So how do you begin a conversation with someone who's hurt you?
Well, first of all, I think you got to recognize, to make sure, when I think about it, I have to make sure that what I'm feeling hurt over is an actual hurt and not just I had a bad day or I was expecting them to say hi to me when I walked in the office today and they didn't. And thus, you know, I have to check myself and make sure I'm not blowing this thing up to be bigger than it is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But then if it is, then it's the idea of what do I have to do? Is this something I can excuse? Is there a reason I can think of why this happened? Or is this no, they've done something and now I have to face it. And again, the first step's always the hardest, calling them up.
So the bottom line, the golden rule. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do for you or to you. For it sums up the law and the prophets, Matthew 7:12. That's all for today's Real Family Talk. Join us again. We'll talk more about strengthening families and inspiring hope. Meanwhile, to watch more of Real Family Talk, please visit our website at hopetv.org/realfamilytalk.